Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
Well, let's continue our election coverage now. This morning we speak to a sitting member, a member for just over 3 years. He's 53. He's married with three children. Good morning, West Douglas MHK, Chris Thomas. Tell me, first of all, why exactly do you want to throw yourself back into this?
The same reason as I started, to make public policy better for people.
What are your priorities on a constituency level then?
We've still got issues with potholes and pavements. That can only be addressed with structural reform because we've got £100 billion of local roads inside Douglas, probably. We don't exactly know.
It's
the role of local commissioners to monitor them, but at national level we've got to put in place an investment programme, a monitoring programme, and we've got to make sure that the prioritisation is accurate and the people know about the prioritisation and they can follow it online and with their commissioners to make sure things are getting done.
And nationally?
Nationally, we've got to rebalance the finances and we've got to bring people to be more sure about their politics and their politicians.
How well do you think the current administration has handled the major challenges of the last 5 years?
There are some good things, like discrimination has been handled better now than it has been for 10 years because we've got the DDA in process, we've got the Equality Bill through the Legislative Council. Health, we've put together a new legal framework and we've got some structures in place that I think can be built on in the next administration. My maiden speech was about schools in the constituency and we have actually got a college that's flourishing now and is being adopted by the private sector to implement things at the nunnery. So they're all good things. In emergency services, we've made a lot of progress through to create what we call blue light services by consolidating the location of appliances and actually working together better.
But what about the major social and political issues that lie ahead? And we know what they are. How do you envisage tackling them? I'm talking, obviously, Brexit. I'm talking public sector pensions. I'm talking public finances here.
Yeah, well, in the debate on public sector pensions last week, both sides were actually much closer together than is publicly accepted and not known about as yet. So, for instance, there was general acceptance that there are two issues. There's the stability of the public sector pension, which is a good thing to have a public sector pension. There's a consensus that that needs to be funded sustainably going forward. There's consensus about the fact that we've now got a separate legacy issue that's got to be dealt with. Also, there's consensus that, in actual fact, people who are expecting pensions, you know, expecting them and they want them and they think they've been promised them, and let's hope we can fulfil our promises, but it's fragile.
Can you do better? Because these are issues which aren't going away. And as it stands now, a lot of the senior politicians, it looks like a number of those aren't going to be there come September. So you may be even in a ministerial position if successful in the election.
No, these issues are important issues. We've made a start. One of the best things that's been achieved in the last couple of years on public sector pensions is the people have been brought to the table and we've got an acceptance of where we are. Now we've got to actually reconcile solving the public sector pensions issue with the fragility of the public finances. I seconded the motion about the medium-term financial forecast because it can't even be called yet a strategy because it's dependent on some assumptions that are quite ambitious. We've also got to, the main message for the people out there is state pensions and the social security system is in a wonderful place. This last government got the emphasis completely wrong. For the first 2 years they were worrying people about state pensions and benefits and that was unnecessary. We've got much, much, much more per capita in our state national insurance fund than they have across, and that's a good place to start.
Let me just finally ask you, you do seem hell-bent or certainly on a one-man crusade for parliamentary reform. There's no great clamour for this, is there, on the doorstep there? I mean, there are far more important issues to discuss, yet you seem here every month. We have a motion or we have a question to try and get things changed. It's not important on the scheme of things, is it?
For the last 6 months, I have actually had a systematic approach because, in essence, we've got a great opportunity. We have actually got more focus on the way that Parliament's organised than we've had before, and we've now got the Lord Lisvain inquiry with us probably in a week or so's time. And so, therefore, we have informed opinion, we have the potential to make the changes, and I'm hoping that Tim Ward steps up to the mark and does reform itself. And I've got to say, my orange and purple manifesto was very important to me in 2013, and it's a 7-year plan, and in that time we need to actually make the committee system work better and various other aspects.
Well, we'll see if it's successful this September. Chris Thomas, West Douglas, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you very much for the interview, James.
Thank you.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.